Welcome to the healing power of your dreams on UK Health Radio with your dream divas, Teresa Chung
and Kelly Sullivan Walden. Each week, along with our recurring dream guest presenters and special guests, we'll explore the healing potential of your intuition by day and your dreams by night.
So join us
live each week
and let's discover the unexpected together.
Deep in your heart.
Wake up! It's your dream time again with Dream Diva Teresa Chung.
And your fellow Dream Diva, Kelly Sullivan Walden. Today's dream-packed show explores something so many of you have messaged us about: afterlife communication through dreams and those mysterious, magical angel signs we notice during the day. A friend of mine, Sam Collins, wrote a book called Radio Heaven. So my nickname for all of these things are Radio Heaven. You know, the ones, meaningful songs that you get on the radio, or repeating numbers, or dreams that feel more real than when you're awake.
And this topic feels so alive for me right now, synchronicity in action, because just yesterday I had the honor of being on ITV This Morning's sofa, hosting a national viewer dream call-in about angel signs, and the phone lines were flooded. They were all taken aback, as often happens when you talk about angels.
You were on hotline duty. This is such a time when people need support. They need some kind of affirmation that there's more going on than just what's on the headlines in this world. So, wow. Hotline duty,
well,
Teresa.
I stressed that on the show. I was saying we need to talk about angels now more than ever. But it was a really, it's always surreal going on the ITV set, because I actually had, when I was getting mic'd up, I looked to my side and there was Voldemort, Ralph Fiennes. You know, they do.
Are you kidding me?
These icons, and then they have like sort of homely ones. It's a very sort of eclectic show, a bit like this one. And the stories that came in.
I'm the homely one.
I know.
There's all the superstars. So, yeah. But
anyway, okay. The stories that people phoned in were so moving, of course, from finding white feathers, seeing repeated numbers after losing loved ones, to vivid dreams with messages that felt so real.
It's no coincidence we're talking about this now. May happens to be a really powerful month for this kind of connection. I didn't know this actually before you and I started talking about this show. Literally in a couple of days, my husband and I are preparing for a memorial for our friend David. So this is, May is one of those special months for getting these kind of messages. Tell us why, Teresa.
Well, we're out of hibernation, aren't we, from the winter, and we're opening our eyes and the days are lighter and we're more open to signs from nature. May has long been associated with angels, perhaps because it's named after the Virgin Mary, symbol of protection and guidance. And across traditions, it's seen as a time of heightened sensitivity to angelic presence.
It's so interesting. And just to throw in a little personal thing, so I wrote about Tendril in my book, A Crisis is a Terrible Thing to Waste, the little baby that Dana and I were adopting, who passed. And it's the heartbreak of my life. But at springtime, I see all these tendrils, all these tendril vines, and I'm always heartened. So it's, I mean, these blossoms on the vine, the bird songs, the light, the butterflies, it's like nature is whispering. Oh, thank you, Margarita. Nature is whispering, there's more here.
Yes, there is. It's as if the veil between worlds is just a little thinner, which brings us beautifully to today's listener dream. This one was sent to us from Lily.
And Lily, your name is symbolic. And by the way, no coincidence, Lily happens to be the name of the daughter, David's daughter, who passed. So Lily, this is also for you, and this is for everyone. Your name is symbolic. It represents purity, renewal, spiritual rebirth, and it happens to be the name of David Hamilton's daughter, who...
Oh, and I mentioned David's Voldemort, of course, Harry Potter's mother, Lily Potter. That's just...
Right, right. Okay, so you picked the perfect dream for today.
Yeah,
Teresa.
And also the soul's journey beyond this life. It's often linked to peace, transition, even angelic presence. And of course, we have lilies at funerals sometimes, don't we, as well? So your name, I know you're listening, Lily, already aligns with your beautiful dream. Kelly, please, can you read it? You always read the dream so beautifully.
Okay, I'm already all choked up, so forgive me. I'm being very American, letting
I
myself
know,
be
I know.
teary in public. Forgive me. Okay, dear Dream Divas, I lost my father last year and I still miss him deeply. A few nights ago, I had a dream that felt very different from my usual dreams. I was standing on a peaceful shoreline. Teresa, you might have to finish reading this. The sea stretching out beyond the horizon. The light was soft. Everything felt calm and luminous. I saw my father sitting on a bench facing the water. He looked younger, peaceful, almost glowing.
Kelly, come
When
on.
I walked up to him, he smiled and said, "I'm right here." He handed me a white feather. I woke up emotional but calm. Later that day, I found a white feather on my doorstep. Was that a coincidence or something more? Teresa.
Okay, we've all got goosebumps there, and thank you, Kelly, for reading it so beautifully. Thank you. Us Brits, we kind of hold it back, but we feel it too. Trust me. And I believe, in my humble opinion, it's a classic example of a night vision, a visitation dream.
And I remember reading the work of Elizabeth Kübler-Ross, who received thousands and thousands of dreams like this, and her opinion was more often than not, these are visitations. So I would say the fact that it felt differently, Lily, is it means that it's a big clue that this was not just a regular dream. I'm going to have a Tammy Faye Baker moment with my makeup, so forgive me.
Good job. This is audio, isn't it? Yeah, those kinds of night visions, as I call them, are often vivid, more coherent, and emotionally profound. And people say they feel like they've actually been somewhere, and they wake up just with that deep sense of knowing.
Yeah, and let's talk about the shoreline setting. To me, this is super symbolic. Talk about that, Teresa.
Oh, it represents a threshold, the meeting point between two worlds, land and sea, heaven and earth, conscious and unconscious, life and what lies beyond. It's a perfect setting, isn't it?
Oh my God, I love that. And I live near the beach, and I love going to the ocean, going to the shore, and standing there with my feet and feeling like we're literally between worlds. The ordinary world and the numinous world, which is a fancy word for beyond what we know consciously and humanly. And then let's talk about her glowing father, not
Appearing
sick,
younger
glowing.
as well.
Yeah,
That's
and
another
younger.
hallmark. Loved ones often, even when they've passed in a state of great distress or trauma, they often appear in their prime, radiant, healthy, as if to say, look, I'm okay. I'm more than okay.
Exactly. And then saying, "I'm right here." I think that whenever there's speaking or language in a dream, because most of the time dreams are so symbolic, it feels like, okay, write that down. Know that that is so true. I would even sort of tattoo that, and maybe not a literal tattoo, but I'm right here. It's so simple, powerful,
Not
direct.
cryptic at all, Kelly, is it? The communication is clear and deeply reassuring. He is alive in her heart.
Exactly. And then, oh yeah, let's talk about the feather. This is where dreams meet waking life. This is my favorite thing. This to me is classic dreamifesting. That full circle.
Search for a white feather or be on the lookout for a white feather. Or a feather of any kind after such a dream, Lily, because that's what many call an angel sign. That's a physical world echo of the message of the dream.
Yes, I think of it like a reward, like you've paid attention. So here's this physical proof. It's like the universe saying, you got the message, you're listening. And in case you doubted it, here's just a little physical proof. But let's ground this. Even from a physiological perspective, this dream is so deeply healing. The subconscious can create a comforting narrative. I mean, we all have a story about what happens, whether we're conscious of that story or not. And from my perspective, after having lost Tendril, I talked about this, how important it was to create a narrative that gave me life. So I think it's important for you, Lily, since it's only a year out since your father passed, that you have this new narrative that your father is with you. And the fact that you woke up calm, comforted, and connected, that tells us everything we need to know.
And that is the healing power of your dreams. Thank you, Kelly.
Ta-da!
So, Lily, and anyone who's had something similar, a similar kind of dream, here's a few gentle tips. First, trust the feeling. The emotional tone matters more than over-analyzing details. Trust the knowing. Second, please write it down because those dreams might fade quickly if you don't, and you want to be able to refer back to it.
Absolutely. And stay open to the signs. Don't chase after them. Don't demand that they come. This is a big thing. A lot of people who have lost people say, "Why haven't I gotten a dream?" I think we have to be very gentle with that invitation and then take those symbols in. We don't want people necessarily going around collecting feathers like it's a competitive sport. No feather hoarding. Let the signs come into our receptive state. Let them be meaningful when they're unexpected, so we don't have to go after them.
And before sleep, set a simple intention, please. If it's for my highest good, I'm open to receiving guidance or comfort in my dreams.
Absolutely. And what I love so much about Lily's dream is that it ties into today's theme, Beyond the Horizon. And if people could see Teresa's background or some background, that's exactly what she did. I have a sort of a different take on the Beyond the Horizon, but dreams are a bridge. They're a meeting place between worlds. So this is where we all can be psychic. We're not all necessarily going to be a medium in our waking life, but we all have this access in between worlds at night when we sleep.
And dreams become a bridge, don't they? That meeting place. Not just at night. The feather shows how the conversation can continue into the day. You know, angel signs, you know, that's how the conversation continues during the day, isn't it?
Yeah, we could say that our night dreams give us the experience, that feeling, and then the daytime, our more logical brain is online, and we get the confirmation, and then we can bridge those
Beautiful,
two.
Kelly. You're very poetic today. It must be this May
Thank you,
energy.
Teresa. Oh my God, I love you. Okay, just blame it on the angels. I love that.
Always,
Like, give it to
always.
them.
So let's continue exploring today how nocturnal dreams and waking angel signs connect us to departed loved ones, and how science and spirituality are beginning to meet in understanding these experiences. Whether you see them as spiritual communication, subconscious healing, or both, they are deeply meaningful. They are personal. They are your inner world speaking.
And sometimes there's something more. And speaking of something more, we have the most epic guest waiting in the wings, no pun intended,
It was a pun. You delivered it, didn't you?
deeply intended, in the wings, former Navy commander who is now a professional medium. We're going to go to our first ad break. We're going to leave it with a little bit of suspense. We'll see you on the other side, but you probably already know who she is. We'll see you on the other side.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
The cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Wake up, dreamers. We are back, like the Terminator, but angelic Terminator. Enya, sail away. Didn't you love listening to that? I can just listen to it on a loop. It gives me
On a loop.
goosebumps, and it always makes me think of today's special guest. If she had a theme tune, I think that should be it. What do you think, Kerry?
Oh, absolutely. And we are so delighted. I am beyond excited to welcome our very special guest, Suzanne Giesman. Suzanne's a renowned evidential medium, spiritual teacher, and best-selling author whose work has reached millions around the globe. She's also been recognized as one of the most spiritually influential people and has received a prestigious spiritual leadership award shared by only a select few visionaries over the years. What makes Suzanne's journey especially compelling is her background. She's a former U.S. Navy commander who has served as a commanding officer and as aide to the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Oh,
wow.
Salute to you.
And now she brings that same clarity, discipline, and grounded approach into her work, which is helping people connect with higher guidance and living more consciously aware lives. Through her best-selling books, teachings, and global outreach, Suzanne has become a trusted voice in bridging the seen and unseen worlds. Suzanne, welcome. Thank you for smiling at us as we did our intro, and for being here. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I'm laughing because the day after I retired from the Navy, we literally sailed away from Washington,
yes.
D.C. and sailed across the Atlantic Ocean and just spent a lot of time sailing. So that's very appropriate.
Need to reach out to Enya. I'm sure she would love to work with you. It's just a natural. I mean, that song is so beautiful about your work as well as what it symbolizes. But anyway, it's your theme tune now for us anyway. You have had such a distinguished career in the Navy. Before stepping into your role now as a medium, I'm curious, do you see any connection between that experience in your former life and the way you understand mediumship now? And I just love this image. Would it be fair to say that mediumship is a bit like crossing a horizon, moving from one realm of awareness into another?
Well, that's a nice analogy. And yet that indicates that there's a distance to travel when in fact, it's simply a different realm that's right here. So it took a long time to cross the Atlantic Ocean, but to connect across the veil is instantaneous because there is no distance at all.
Oh, that's such beautiful. Kelly, what do you
That is so beautiful. I love that you said that. And I love how, so you're evidential based, which is great because you add so much credibility to this topic. And I loved your book, Messages of Hope. And one of the things that stand out to me the most is the bowling ball story.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I will take that with me forever. Can you talk a little bit about the magic of that bowling ball?
Yes, yes, yes. When I first learned mediumship, and this is important because I'm not what most people think you have to be, a born medium. This is a skill that I developed and you can learn, which is very hopeful for all of us. But I was told that all mediums are psychic. They can read people at this level. They can discern information from each other in human form, but not all psychics are mediums. And so I attended the Arthur Findlay College of Psychic Sciences in Stansted, England. And we were put to the test to do psychic readings for each other. And I kept failing. I couldn't do it. And I felt like a failure and didn't want to do psychic readings at all. And clearly my calling is to do mediumship, which is connecting with those who have passed. And suddenly my guides told me what I was doing wrong. They said, you are trying to read other people as if they're separate from you, but you're all aspects of the same source, the same field of consciousness. So they gave me a lesson when I was bowling. I was holding a bowling ball and I kept failing. I was doing terrible. And they said, be the ball. Don't try to be separate from those pins down the alley, become the ball and just go and knock them down. And I did. And suddenly the lesson stuck with me. Wait, be the person you're trying to read. Just become them and discern, what do you feel? What do you sense? And it changed everything.
It's changing.
is one of the things I like to talk about, and Teresa and I talk about this in from a dream perspective, because we want to always bridge dreams into the conversation. One way of interpreting dreams is from the perspective that everyone in the dream is an aspect of us, and then possibly to live our lives that way. I don't know, that might be a little bit rough for some people, but how do you feel about that out in the world with so much? There's a lot of craziness in the world, but
Yeah, if we were
are we in
only,
oneness?
it's the greatest extension of put yourself in someone other's shoes. That's why we have so much conflict, because people are so entrenched in their views. But when you do the kind of work that we do and that I do, connecting with souls, you become them. I feel their personality so clearly that sometimes I take on their gestures and their mannerisms, their way of speaking. And so if we could just translate that into our interactions with each other here and say, well, I may not agree with you, but I can truly understand why you feel the way you do, because I feel you.
Oh, Suzanne, we're all fragments of the divine. And that's a mark, actually, of the spiritual path, isn't it? That when you see it, someone else's pain, it becomes your pain, similarly with their joy. And on the topic of joy, when I said that you were coming on the show today, we have an amazing cast of a dream team, I call them, of guest presenters who step into the show. They all wanted to be here today, Suzanne. So you are really, it's a bit like you're going to be grilled a bit now.
That's okay. I'm up for
So
it.
I'm going to bring with someone who's been with the show for the longest, the very lovely journalist and TV producer, Margarita Mitchell Pollack. Margarita, are you there? Is she there?
Unmute.
I
There she
am
is.
here with
Yay.
bells on. Yes, I'm
Yeah.
here.
Take it away. I know you were very keen to connect with Suzanne. In fact, you've been trying for a while.
Yes, thank you so much, Teresa Kelly. Thank you very much, Johan. It's a pleasure to speak with you, Suzanne. I've
Hi,
been a fan of
Margarita.
yours for a long time, and I was actually booking you on this morning when I was there. So I'm glad to speak to you here on UK Health Radio. So I have so many questions, but I feel that I have to honour our listeners and take you to what I call the origin story. So all superheroes have an origin story, and I would love to hear how about yours? So this experience where you realized that you had this ability obviously came in adulthood, and maybe a little bit about what your beliefs were prior to you realizing there was an afterlife and the afterlife was real, and how that transformed your life. Oh my goodness. Well, I had very little spiritual background and no religious background at all in my family. And so going into the Navy, it was all very much by the physical senses. And Teresa asked, what's the connection with the military? It's that discipline, commitment to improving my connection with spirit now, but no real interest or belief in an afterlife previously. But the death of my stepdaughter, Susan, who was struck and killed by lightning when she was 6 months pregnant, just catapulted me into asking the deep life questions that many people ask after what I call a wake-up call like that. And so I started diving into the afterlife through educating myself. But truly, it was a reading with a medium who changed my entire worldview in 1 hour when she brought through a young woman who was in a brown uniform. Susan had been a Marine, a sergeant in the US Marine Corps. And she said that this young woman who had died suddenly in her 20s, and I deliberately did not give that medium my last name so she couldn't look up any details online. She said this young woman is bringing with her a little baby boy who she wants to introduce to you. And Susan was pregnant with a boy. So that was the moment that truly just changed, rocked my world and sent me down this path. But even at that point, had no idea that I would be a medium. So then the next point was when I actually brought through my very first spirit, put on the spot by medium Janet Nohavik. You can do this too. What do you sense? And brought through evidence from someone in the room. And when I thought, I can do this too, I can bring healing to someone like that medium brought to our family, I'm all in.
Thank you, Margarita, for such a thorough and beautiful question for Suzanne. I love that. We also have with us actor, author, and intuitive coach, Phil Webster, who brings his own unique perspective to the space. So Phil, we'd love to hear your question for Suzanne.
I love that you mentioned superhero, Margarita, because of course you've been on a superhero film set, haven't you, Phil?
Brings up.
Oh, that's
every
right.
Time, every single time, yeah.
He is a superhero.
Thanks, Suzanne. Nice to meet you. I'm also a developing medium, so this is quite an honor for me. I'm about 6 years in, so I'm not calling myself a medium at this stage, but it's all the same. I'm on the way. To go a little bit deeper and a bit wider, from a medium's perspective, is the current state of the world, do you see it as like a necessary sort of breakdown before a breakthrough for human consciousness? And how close are we to the reality of getting a shared collective consciousness becoming commonplace and undeniable?
This is a natural evolution that we're going through. The chaos does lead to breakthroughs, but you've seen this throughout history. I found a book that said we're going through such chaotic times and change is coming, and everything that we're going through now, and something nudged me to look at the date, and the book was issued in 1946, published in 46. So we're living in it. We're immersed in the chaos. So we think that this is unique, and it is not. We're actually improving, and that's part of evolution. And we are growing faster, for sure, evolving faster, because more people are open to the fact that we're multidimensional beings. So it's a very hopeful time. Because once you bring in the fact that we're not alone and we don't have to do it all alone, now we can heal faster and grow together faster.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bill, I didn't know that you were training to be a medium.
I mean, yeah, the first couple of books I wrote were about my experience as a developing medium. I'm not sure if it's my final destination. I have aspects of mediumship come into my readings with clients, but I'm still very respectful of where I feel I am in terms of development. So I'm not calling myself.
After this interview, after this show, you're going to be like on the next level. All of us will be. And I love your perspective, Suzanne, because so many people are, it's like in the spiritual world, I've been criticized for not talking politically enough. And then I get criticized when I talk about the drama of the world. And I think that you offer a really unique perspective. And I think you said something in one of your Q&As about, if there's something for you to do, then do it, but keep your vibe high. And beautiful. Something like that. I don't know. You'd probably say it better. But we should bring in
Alex now.
Oh, Alex.
Alex, our lovely former deputy editor of Hello magazine, who saw the light and is now a sound healer, but she's still a journalist, and she's also going to be hosting Olympia Mind Body Spirit at the end of this month for the entire 4 days. Alexandra Wilby, are you receiving me?
I am receiving you, Teresa. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, Alex.
Suzanne, I absolutely love the fact that you learned how to do this. And I wonder if you've got a message for people who either want to learn how to become a medium or feel like they do already have the intuitive abilities to be one, but they're just feeling a little bit scared.
Oh, the scared is learned behavior. We're told that it's not right to talk to spirits, or we're told that only born mediums can do this. But your heart knows if this is a calling for you, like Phil, you know, you're called to do it, but you're not sure that it's your permanent or total work. But if you are meant to talk to spirits on behalf of other people, you can't not do it. But we all can learn to connect with our own loved ones. So the fear part is human stuff. Just acknowledge it and then examine your thoughts and say, why do I want to do this connection? And then you simply put out to the universe, only those of the highest good are allowed into my field. And anything that comes in that's scary, look at it, send it love, and it dissolves.
Oh, I love that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Kelly?
Good, good, good. Then let's bring in our amazing Amy Robbins, our clinical psychologist, Dr. Amy Robbins. Come on
And
in with
host
your
of
question.
Life, Death and the Space Between. Don't forget
Oh,
that
yeah, perfect.
podcast. I believe she already has spoken to Suzanne, but I'd love to hear what she's going to ask today. Hello, Amy. Lovely to see you.
Hi, everybody. Glad to be back again this week. Hi, Suzanne. So good
Hello.
to
Hi,
see
Amy.
you. My question is about your movie, Wolf's Message. So, this is such a powerful movie. And I'm curious, of all the people that you have done readings for, what was it about this story that just captivated you to want to tell it even deeper? Why this message?
You're talking about the documentary Wolf's Message. It's based on my book, Wolf's Message. By the way, any day now, it's going to be streaming free on the platform Tubi, Tubi. Wolf's story, first of all, captured me because this is a young man who was struck and killed by lightning, like my stepdaughter. Then he came to me later when I agreed to do a reading for his parents and bring him through. And he was the most powerful, let me just check. Yeah, remains the most powerful person who I'd ever brought through in a reading who was in human form before. At that point, he left me stuttering and shaking. His energy was so powerful. But what makes his story so unique is that he left absolute proof before he left that he knew he was going to be struck by lightning, where it would happen, and what would happen afterwards. And all of that is shared in the documentary. So when I say proof, it's knowing that I was told in the past, oh, don't ever say you have proof of the afterlife. Well, I have proof that we're souls. I can't prove the afterlife, but I have proof that there is an aspect of us, the soul, that knows far more than often gets through to our human awareness. And Wolf tapped into that and left that validation. We share it in the film, and I challenge anybody to watch Wolf's Message and not say, wow, several times.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up, Amy.
When's
He
the movie
also
coming out?
was.
When's it coming out?
It's already out and it's on the website, wolfsmessage.com, but it was supposed to be out last week on Tubi. It hasn't shown up yet, and they're telling us any day now. So make a note and just keep checking back.
Well, for anyone with that is neuroatypical, because he was diagnosed as
Yes,
schizophrenic. So I
he
think this is
was.
such an interesting, like, multi-layered topic. I
Oh,
can't
it is.
wait to
It
see this
brings
one.
new awareness to mental illness that he said to me in the reading, I was in two worlds at once. It was very busy in here. And his father said he said that all the time. So,
Fascinating.
yeah, we could get into that whole topic, but that would take us off track.
Amy, is there
Well,
anything else? We've got a minute or two before the second ad break.
I just think that is so powerful. And thinking about everything that we're seeing right now with the telepathy tapes and non-speaking autistics and schizophrenia and what we're going to start to see and learn about their brains, the more we allow these two aspects of self to merge. And I'm curious, Suzanne, what insights you had into how his brain was working with this,
Oh,
filtering
it's
in
for
and
all
out.
of us. Exactly, Amy. I'm so glad you brought that up because most of us, our filter is very narrow. And so we're not aware of the energy and information that's around us. Someone like Wolf, who was diagnosed schizophrenic, his filter was wide open. He couldn't turn it off. We can learn to adjust that filter, which is what I've done and which is what those who study mediumship learn to do it at will for the greater good of those around us and for the healing that it provides.
Beautiful. That's a beautiful moment to pause, everyone. Thank you, Fantastic Four, as I call them with my movie references again. Dream team, please stick around because I hope, it becomes like a panel as we close the show. You are our dream team for a reason. Gorgeous questions. Thank you. We're going to have to go to our second ad break now. We will see you on the other side, pun intended.
The station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movement and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at a special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hello, everyone. Your dream team is back. And if this out of this world conversation couldn't get more expansive, we're going to bring in the science now with Dr. Helena Wahbe, Director of Research at the Institute of Noetic Sciences, IONS, a place I visit all the time in my research and in my dreams. And one day it's on my bucket list. I'm going to make a pilgrimage there because it's like a mecca. It really is. Ooh, Dr. Wahbe is a world-leading science expert in the science of channeling and mediumship, and I'm thrilled she's joining us today.
Helena is a clinically trained, she's clinically trained as a naturopathic physician and has extensive research training, including advanced fellowships. Her work has been published and shared internationally, helping to bring scientific credibility to experiences that many people have had, but perhaps didn't fully understand. And she's especially known for her pioneering research into channeling, the science of channeling. In fact, looking at it through what's called a noetic lens, which explores consciousness beyond the traditional boundaries of science.
And as well as Suzanne's books, of course, I couldn't recommend The Science of Consciousness by Dr. Wahbe enough. And I have to say, Suzanne, I know you're incredibly passionate about bringing the science into this space and into your work. And you were thrilled that Dr. Wahbe was going to join us today, and so were the Dream Divas.
Absolutely.
I absolutely love collaborating with the Institute of Noetic Sciences and supporting this bridge between spirituality and research. And I know, Kelly, you do too, doesn't it? Don't you?
Oh, absolutely. It just adds so much credibility. It's such an exciting time to have the worlds of spirit and science truly combined. It's like two sides of the very same mountain meeting at the peak. It's such an exciting moment.
Yeah, and welcome, Helena. Welcome to the show. It's just so wonderful to have you with us. And before we bring you in, just going to share that we have some exciting news. We are dedicating an entire hour, a full episode, to the groundbreaking research work at the Institute of Noetic Sciences on Wednesday, July the 1st, 3 to 4 p.m. London, UK time. We're probably on summertime. We're on British summertime, won't we? Yeah. I always get confused with the clock changes, but yeah, put that in your diary. And if you can't listen to it live, you can listen to it on demand, just like this show. Do mark your calendars, though. It's going to be a must listen, isn't it?
An absolute deep dive. Absolutely. Yeah.
Helena, your work is helping to bring scientific understanding to experiences like channeling and mediumship, which have often been misunderstood. From your research perspective, what is actually happening in the brain and consciousness during these states? And how can science help us better understand and perhaps even validate these kinds of human experiences?
Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. And it is such a joy to be here with you today talking about this incredible topic. And so you mentioned this intersection of science and spirit, and we have this rigorous method called science. It's a verb, right? It's a process that we use where we generate a research question and we create a study design specifically orchestrated to be able to answer that question. And we can apply that method of science to anything, including mediumship, including channeling. And so there's a number of research questions that we have attempted to answer about mediumship through science, including, you know, does it support the sitter, their quality of life? Is there accuracy? Can mediums and channelers actually receive accurate, verifiable information? And then another question, which is what yours is alluding to, is what's happening in the brain when mediums and channelers are in this state? And so that's what we call a physiological correlate meaning that we're looking at a part of the body to see what's happening in the body when people are in that state. Now, that doesn't mean that the brain state equals mediumship or the brain state equals channeling. It's like an association of what's happening in the physiology while people are in that state. So here's what we've learned so far. The state in the brain is very similar to what you might see in advanced meditators. So we have increased alpha, increased theta, increased coherence. This is a general kind of finding because not all the studies are finding the exact same thing. But that's a general finding. It is an altered state that is different from waking life. And we see this increased relaxation. In terms of the rest of the body, some studies show that people are very activated, like they're more actually in fight or flight, whereas other studies show that people are more relaxed. And I think that's partly because, you know, we hear the words mediumship and channeling, and we think, oh, it's just one thing. But the way that people experience that is really quite varied. So I'll stop there and see what you think about that.
Well, I just want to jump in for a second and just say how fascinated I am with this. And one thing that I keep flashing on is our conversation a few weeks ago with Julia Mossbridge, and she was talking about how it's and I'll misquote her, I'm sure, but it's the job of the two hemispheres of the brain to contradict each other. But the work that you're doing and the work that Suzanne is doing, it's kind of like you're bringing in the yin and the yang, you're bringing in the science and the spirituality so that there can be this oneness. So it's indisputable. Kind of going back, Suzanne, to you and the bowling ball metaphor about how, like, when we get into that oneness place, there's like everything starts to make sense. So I can feel you've got a question or something to say, Suzanne.
No, simply that you can train your brain to access the higher states. And I actually verified that when Dr. Dean Radin from IONS, Helena, you may know about this, put the skull cap on me to measure my brain waves. And I decided to have some fun. And I, without telling him, dropped into the alpha brainwave state that I've trained myself through normal meditation to do. He was looking at the computer and he turned to me and he said, are you an experienced meditator? Because you're suddenly kicking out some really coherent alpha waves. And I just, to me, that was my own science of saying, yeah, there's something to this. We simply have to shift our brain state as a first step to accessing what's already here.
Yeah. We have to become at one with the bowling ball. Sorry.
Helena, what was it like studying Suzanne at IONS? Did she behave?
She wasn't there then, but she
oh,
just
she wasn't,
knows.
It was Dean. No.
I wasn't there quite yet, but I've heard nothing but positive interactions. And, you know, we've, of course, worked with Suzanne more recently and just are very grateful for her support of our work. And, you know, you talk about oneness and, you know, an idea that is really coming more into the mainstream more and more these days is this idea that consciousness, this larger consciousness, is a fundamental aspect of reality, and that our brain is actually an incredible tool, an incredible organ that may not necessarily generate consciousness, but is a tool that filters or receives consciousness, kind of like a radio. You can tune the radio to multiple different frequencies. The radio doesn't generate the music, right? It doesn't create the music, but it receives it. And you can really use that tool to get variation about what's being received. If the radio breaks, you don't hear music anymore, right? So anyway, that's, I think, a very apt metaphor to the way I'm personally thinking about consciousness and how it interacts. And just one more thing about that, you know, one of the most common questions that I receive about mediumship and channeling is, well, what's the actual source? Like, you know, is it really deceased humans? Is it really ascended masters? Is it really? And, you know, with what we know today, the tools that we have, we can't prove it or definitively verify it with the scientific tools that we have. And yet, if you think of oneness, coming back to the oneness, that if we are all one, then whether it's a deceased human personality or ascended master or an aspect of ourselves, it's still a reflection of that same oneness that we can get that information from. And what's most important to, from my perspective of the source, is actually the content. Is the content coming through supportive? Is it beneficial? Does it help people? Can we use it in a positive and beneficial way?
Oh, and I saw Suzanne perk up for a second. I mean, what was that?
I just have to say that I'm so happy Helena said the radio analogy. If the radio breaks, you lose the signal. But the thing is, you can't play the music. The signal is still here. We all know this. The signal's still here. So when your loved ones pass and the body can no longer play their signal, where did they go? They're still here. The signal is still here. That's so important. That's why I said they didn't go far away. We just have to learn to tap into the signal without the radio.
That's the moment. They're still here. And your next book title, Suzanne, I hope you write.
I have a book already called Still Right Here.
Still right here. Love it. I'm blissed out by this discussion and meeting of visionary minds, hearts and souls. Now, around half of our audience right now is US. We're, you know, even though we are UK Health Radio, but I do want to bring in two Brits, two British mediums now to offer their perspective and ask you both a question. I'm going to ask Alison Gray first. She's known over here as the Mindful Medium. Hello, Alison.
Hello, and thank you for inviting me to your wonderful. It's been so fascinating here today. I've been really absorbed in all the questions with everybody, and my mind's kind of like the three topics of channeling and mediumship and science. Just for me, it's wonderful. It just all, you know, comes together in a melting pot. So I just want to say thank you for inviting me on, and it's lovely to see you all and to meet you.
Do you have a question for Suzanne or Helena?
Yes, I do. I just wanted to know, because a lot of what we've been talking about is kind of like mediumship and the science and the channeling. But for me, I just wanted to ask, because a lot of you are from the US, how it compares, how does mediumship and spirituality and how is it received in the US different from over here? Because I feel that in the US, I feel like you're a little bit more kind of ahead of the game, maybe. I mean, over here in the UK, I feel like we talk a lot about mindfulness, we talk a lot about healing, we talk a lot about grounding and nature, but I feel that there's still a sense of fearfulness when we're talking about mediumship. You know, I was a primary school teacher, and I know to start with, before I became a medium, and I know that I kind of kept the two separate for a while. So I just wanted to ask, how is it over in the US? How is it different, Suzanne, from over here?
18 years ago, when I learned that I could connect, I traveled to England to study mediumship in England, because the British spiritualists focused on the evidence. And at that time, US mediums mostly did not put such a focus on, give me information I can validate. That's what we mean by evidence. So it's funny that recently the Daily Mail in the UK ran a 3-day excerpt from my book, The Awakened Way. And I read a few of the comments and had to stop reading, because many of the comments were showing people's ignorance about how healing and helpful mediumship is. They claim that it's all fraud and charlatans, and it's not at all. So I feel that in the US, we're more open to this. We understand that mediumship is more about healing, but that there's more evidence-based mediumship there was in the UK. So the two are coming together now. I know, because we have so many evidence-based mediums on both sides of the ocean working to show people that it is real, it's valid, and healing.
And thank you for the work you do, because especially at IONS, Helena, because it's my go-to place, because I do a lot of media, and often there are strict rules about what I can and cannot say about the afterlife, that I have to give this balance all the time. And it's just wonderful to be able to point them towards the research that you're doing. Thank you for that question, Alison. That was wonderful.
I think it's an interesting connection, Teresa and Helena. You both come, Teresa, you come from a family of traveling spiritualists, and Helena, you come from channelers. And yet, and Teresa, you became an academic and have written all these books, 100 books. And Helena, you are this scientist. It's this, and then we've got Suzanne, who's got this background in as a naval commander that has come this way. So it's really kind of an amazing bridging of these worlds that is really creating that oneness, which is incredible.
Thank you, Alison. I'm so sorry. I'm just going to bring in Ali Norell, who's our other British medium.
Oh, my goodness.
I've got a question before we run out of time. But please, if you had anything to say, please do.
Hi, Teresa, and thank you. I've been just so enjoying listening to the points of view on, spirituality and science and how those two areas are blending. I think this has been a long time coming, and it's really exciting to see. I actually enjoyed seeing you speak, Suzanne, at the Helping Parents Heal conference in Arizona a couple of years back. Wonderful. Where also Dr. Gary Schwartz talking about his soul phone. There are so many amazing sort of steps forward, I think, happening in the blending of science and spirituality. I think it used to be very much the old guard spiritualists versus the scientists. And yet now, even with the recent publication of Dr. Tara Svart's book, Signs, we're getting people from the scientific areas stepping forwards and sort of reclaiming spirituality as well, which is making it just more accessible to people to whom it can help. So I applaud that. And this has been a fascinating conversation from the point of view of mediumship for me, certainly.
Oh, Ali, thank you. And just must say, your book, of course, is called The Truth Inside. It's lovely. The special relationship, certainly when it comes to spirituality, is strong. Don't you feel it, Kelly, between the UK and the US? I just wanted to bring in some UK mediums. And just before we close, Suzanne and Helena, have you got something you'd just like to leave listeners of UK Health Radio with, and where they can find out about you? Suzanne, you first, please.
Simply that this is real. It's very real. I love that we have Helena here to bring the scientific aspect. That please question your beliefs. I call it your BS, your belief system. Question what you think about the afterlife, and then do some research of your own, and then go for the personal experience through altering your brains through meditation. And find that stillness, and you'll find much more than you're aware of.
Best way to contact you or find out about
that would be my website, suzannegeisman.com.
Thank you. Helena?
Yes, and I would also build on that, just saying that we all have this access to innate wisdom within ourselves as intuition, regardless of however it shows up in your life. And to invite yourself, if you're willing, to take a few minutes a day to just tap into that inner wisdom. And also to say that, we have a series of studies looking at professionalism of mediumship and channeling in the US, and that people are very excited of upping the level of professionalism and codes of ethics and mobilizing together to create a really strong professional ethical field. So we have a whole series of papers on our website, noetic, noetic.org. That's where you can find all our papers, our free webinars, community building, wonderful resources. And we'd love you to join our community.
Wow. And as we come to the end, sadly come to the end of today's episode, I feel like we've taken quite a journey together, haven't we, Kelly?
Yes, we have. From dreams to signs to science to those profound questions about what lies beyond what we can see.
And what stays with me most is this idea of crossing the horizon, not as something to fear, but as something deeply natural, a continuation rather than an ending.
Absolutely. And this is something that we all struggle with, and maybe we don't have to struggle so much. And we can think of it like we're standing on the beach our toes are in the sand and we're feeling the water lapping up, and we're just standing at the edge of the horizon of what's known, realizing that there's something so beautiful beyond it, even if we don't exactly know what it is. It's
and
beautiful.
It reminds me of that final scene in The Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King. I had to get it back to Lord of the Rings somehow, where Frodo Baggins boards the ship and sails to the Undying Lands. Now I'm going to get emotional.
Teresa, because of you, I forced my husband to watch the last of the trilogies of Lord of the Rings. So now I know why you are such a fan of Frodo, and you're so obsessed about what happens at the other side. It was very emotional. My husband's like, "Why are you crying?" I'm like,
"He's
Frodo,
not dying. He's going on to his next great adventure. He's both sad and happy to leave, isn't it?"
That's exactly. It's so important that we hold it this way, that death is not an ending. It's a crossing into something just out of sight, yet somehow familiar, because we are spiritual beings having a human experience. We're coming home. And perhaps our dreams are those signs that we notice in our waking life. They're just giving us glimpses every day of that sacred horizon.
Reminders. Now that's beautiful, Kelly, but we're going to get my music in.
Get it. We have to get that Frodo sailing off music.
Come on. Prepare to cry and to dream and to smile at the same time as you listen to the soul-stirring music from Return of the King when Frodo leaves the Shire and looks beyond the horizon and goes off into the Undying Lands.